This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to Jeremiah chapter 43, verse 7. Jeremiah 43, 7. So they came to the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, and thus came they even to Tahpanhes. So they came into the land of Egypt. It is a sad and a tragic day when a nation or a person returns to that place from which God has once delivered them. The children of Israel had dwelled in Egypt for 400 years. And towards the end of their time in Egypt, they were bitter, hard years. Over and over, we read how the children of Israel cried unto the Lord by reason of their taskmasters who were over them, because of the cruel bondage of these taskmasters. And now, 900 years after God had delivered their fathers from that bondage, and they came again unto Egypt. Because Egypt was a place of such unbearable bondage, it is quite often used in the scriptures symbolically of the old life in the flesh, the life of sin, the life in the world. As the New Testament speaks about the Lord delivering us from the bondage of corruption, and Egypt in the scripture has symbolically come to represent that old life in which we were in bondage to our own flesh and to sin. And so often, coming out of Egypt is speaking symbolically of coming out of the world and out of that life of corruption. And so they came again to Egypt, back to that place from which God had delivered them and set them free. It is always a tragic day when we observe an individual going back to that place from which God had once delivered them. As Peter testified of a group who had turned back, he said, as a dog they have returned to their vomit, or as a pig to her wallowing in the mire. We have seen people marvelously delivered by the power of God from drug addiction. We've seen heroin addicts set free by the Spirit of God from their habits without any withdrawals, without any horrible experiences, just in a moment delivered by the power of God and freed from that heroin addiction. But we have watched sadly as after a period of time has elapsed, maybe a month, several months, a year, many times those who had been set free went back to that old thing from which God had delivered them. How horrible, how tragic that is, that a person would go back to something that had once enslaved them, something that held them in such horrible misery, and being set free and delivered, yet they would return back to that addiction. We have seen people who have been set free from alcoholism, restored to their families. We've seen them as they've regained their businesses. We've seen them as they again begin to prosper and do so well in the family unit together. And then we have watched them after a period of time go back to that very thing that had enslaved them, from which God once delivered them. And we see them entangled again in that yoke of bondage. And we remember the words of Peter, it would be better for them to have never heard, to never have received, than to have received, go back again, for their last estate is worse than their first. Back to Egypt. The sad and tragic history of the people of God, who had once known the glorious work of God in their midst, had known the life and the walk of the Spirit, but now we see them, and they came back to Egypt. This is the story of failure. God had given to them so very much. God had promised them that he would be their God and that they would be his people and that he would watch over them for good and he would develop them and he would help them and he would preserve them in the land. And as long as you would seek me, the Lord said, you will find me and I will be your God and you will be my people. And here they had the blessings of God bestowed upon them, for God brought them into the land that he promised to their father Abraham. God drove out the inhabitants from before them, and God established them there and brought them to a great glory and power. And in their prosperity, they forsook the Lord, and they began to worship and serve other gods. The gods of materialism, the gods that they had made with their own hands, and they forsook the true and the living God. God sent his prophets, and they warned the people to turn back to God, to seek the Lord. God had brought judgments into the land, warnings to them, but their hearts were set toward Egypt, and it wasn't long until they came back to Egypt. Oh, be careful if your heart is set towards the world. Be careful if you look back on the old life with sort of a relish and a longing for those things that were once destroying you. They still had the desires of Egypt in their heart. Prosperity can sometimes be a dangerous thing. The Bible warns us that they that would be rich have many different temptations that can damn man's souls in perdition. The Bible tells us that if our riches increase, we should not set our hearts on them. We should keep our heart upon the Lord. But in the time of prosperity, as we are turning towards those things with which God has blessed us, and we begin to worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, it is then that we oftentimes misinterpret our history. And we begin to say, well, we are strong because we believe in free enterprise. And the nation begins to extol free enterprise as that which made us great and made us strong. If free enterprise made a nation strong, then Ecuador should be one of the strongest nations in the world. Because the little children, as soon as they're released from the crib, grab a pack of Chiclets and head for the street to sell you Chiclets or to sell you wilted flowers or to sell you anything they can get their hands on, an orange, an apple, anything. And you see the streets crowded with these little kids engaged in free enterprise. And of course, there are vendors all over the place, and they're not even restricted by business licenses as we have restricted free enterprise here. And if free enterprise were the answer and that which made a nation great, and we should fight for the freedom of free enterprise, oh, foolishness. Free enterprise did not make the United States great, nor was it because we had formed a republican form of government. That isn't what made us great. What made us great is that our nation was established upon the principles of God. Because our founding fathers were willing to place upon our coinage "In God We Trust." And we're able to include God into the national life. One nation under God, and we recognize the place of God over the nation. And because we recognized as God over the nation, God made our nation strong. And God blessed us. But now we're beginning to reinterpret our history. And we're beginning to give credit and glory to the form of government or to other things rather than glory to God for what He has done. And the children of Israel began to misinterpret their history, and they began to leave God out of the national life. They began to worship and serve other gods. And it wasn't long until that nation that was once a great and mighty nation was heading back toward Egypt, the small remnant that remained. The reason for their return to Egypt is given to us here. For they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, and thus they came even to Tahpanhes. But what was behind their disobedience? It was fear. It was because of fear that they did not obey the voice of the Lord. When Nebuchadnezzar had come again and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple, Nebuchadnezzar set up a governor over the land whose name was Gedaliah. And a very wicked man, Ishmael, came and he assassinated Gedaliah. And now the people were afraid that because of this, Nebuchadnezzar was going to come and to destroy them and carry the rest of them as captives to Babylon. And because they feared the Babylonians, they came to Egypt. Now, in the beginning, it was faith in God that brought them out of Egypt, believing God's promise to bring them into the land that He had promised them. Their faith and trust in God brought them out of Egypt, but it was fear that brought them back to Egypt. Faith and fear are mutually exclusive. If you have real faith in God, then you have no fear. And any fear in your heart is only an indication of a lack of trust and faith. I'm fearful because I'm not quite sure that God is going to work it out. But you can't have both faith and fear. For faith will always dispel fear, and fear is always the sign of the lack of faith. And fear many times will drive you to the wrong decision and to the wrong move. And thus they came back to Egypt, disobedient, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Now the leaders had come to Jeremiah. Chapter 42 records how that they said to Jeremiah, "Inquire of the Lord your God for us, that he might instruct us on what we should do. And we will obey the voice of the Lord, even if it's evil. For good or evil, we're going to obey the voice of the Lord. So inquire of the Lord for us." And after 10 days, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And basically, God said that they were to stay in the land. Remain here in the land, and I will plant you here, and I will bless you, and I will be with you, and I will give you mercy in the eyes of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, and I will build you up. And God gave all of these marvelous promises to them, if you'll just stay here in the land and trust in me, and I'll take care of you, and I'll watch over you. And as if Jeremiah could read their thoughts, he said, "But if you say in your hearts," see, he was reading what was in their heart, "if you say in your hearts, we'll go down to Egypt because you're afraid of the sword that will devour you, the sword will follow you in Egypt. If you say, we'll go to Egypt because we're afraid of famine, then the famine is going to follow you in Egypt." So he points out that it was fear that was driving them back to Egypt. The fear of the sword of Nebuchadnezzar, the fear of famine that might come. But God is saying, "Look, stay right here. I'll give you mercy here. If you go to Egypt, those things that you are fearing will surely come upon you in Egypt. You can't escape from your problems. You can't run from your problems. Stay right here, and I'll be with you, and I'll see you through it here. If you try to run from it, they're only going to follow you wherever you go." Now here they are. They said, "Tell us the word of the Lord, and we will be obedient to the word of the Lord, whether it be good or evil." And Jeremiah tells them, now don't go be afraid and go back to Egypt. Stay here, and God will bless you here. And they said, "God didn't speak to you. God didn't tell you that." And they packed their duds and headed for Egypt. You know, this points up an interesting thing. We have such a bizarre concept of what submission really is. We really don't understand the term submission or obedience. Now we read in the scriptures that wives are to be in subjection to their husbands, and we're all to be in subjection unto God. What does that mean? Well, that means I'll submit to what you tell me to do as long as I approve of what you're telling me to do. As long as I want to do it, I'll submit to it. But if I don't want to do it, then you go jump. Because I'm not going to do that. Who do you think you are, you know? If I am only submitting to those things that I want to do, that isn't submission at all. That isn't even close to submission. Submission always involves something that is contrary to my own desire and wish. Yielding to that which is contrary to my own will, that's submission. Only yielding to that which I wish or want, that isn't submission at all. That isn't even close to submission. Submission always involves that which is opposed to what I desire or want. It always, it seems, is opposed to my own understanding. I don't understand why I have to do that. But God, I submit to you. Oh God, if we stay here in the land, it looks like we're going to starve. If we stay here in the land, oh, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come down with a sword and wipe us out. If we stay here in the land, we're going to be taken captive. God says, stay here. Oh, but I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. Oh, let's run to Egypt, you know. We'll obey you, God, if you tell us to run to Egypt. But if you tell us to stay here, then no way are we going to obey. Well, that isn't real obedience, you see. That's disobedience. Only obeying that which you want to do is not true obedience at all. And so they were disobedient. They obeyed not the voice of the Lord, and thus they came to Tahpanhes. Back to the old life. Back to the place of bondage. Back to the place of corruption. And we read in verse 8, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah in Tahpanhes. Now here to me is grace of God demonstrated in that God, even though they disobeyed and through lack of faith returned to Egypt, yet God continued to speak to them. As long as God continues to speak, there is always that element of grace whenever God talks to man. As long as God is still talking to your heart, you're in good shape. As long as God is still speaking to you, even though as he was with them, speaking of the judgment that was going to come, God's still talking. You're in big trouble when God quits talking to you. When the word of the Lord no longer comes, then is when you're in dangerous ground. But here they were, disobedient, back in Egypt, and there in Egypt, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet there in Tahpanhes. God is still talking. As long as he's talking, the door is still open. You can still turn. God told Jeremiah, take these great stones and put them in that clay pit over there where they've taken out the clay for the bricks. That pit that is there by the palace of the Pharaoh. And say to the people, thus saith the Lord, in this very place where I have buried these stones, Nebuchadnezzar is going to sit on his throne and he's going to rule over Egypt. And the sword that you feared will come upon you here. And the famine that you feared will come upon you here. And you will be slain and you'll be destroyed by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. You sought to escape it by disobeying God. You sought to find the answers in the arm and in the strength of the flesh. But because you've looked to the flesh for your help, because you've turned to your own wisdom and devices for the answers, that which you have sought to escape will come right here. And you'll be destroyed right here in this place. For Nebuchadnezzar, who you fear, is going to come and conquer Egypt and set his throne right on this spot. Back in the 20s, Flinders Petrie, an archaeologist, was excavating the Tel Defna there in Egypt. And in his excavations, he uncovered the pavement of the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. And when he dug under the pavement, he found the very large stones that Jeremiah had placed there. And they are now on display in the museum. You can see the stones that Jeremiah buried under the pavement. For God's word always comes to pass. Now, there are a lot of things in life that may be uncertain. People may say, well, you can't be sure about much these days. Well, that is perhaps true, but you can always be sure that God will keep his word. And you can always be sure that if for convenience sake or for any other reason you go back to the flesh to find security or to find the answers, that you're going to be destroyed in that place where you've sought for security. We sing, the arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. Our only place of security today is by remaining in him, standing fast in the liberty wherein Christ has set us free, and not being entangled again in the yoke of bondage. For if you've once have tasted of those glorious things of God's kingdom and received that power of Christ in your life, if you turn again and go back to the world and to the things of the world, your last estate is worse than your first. Better that you had never known the way of life than to know it and go back to the old path. But even you who have been so foolish as to go back, God still is speaking to you today. And because God is speaking, there is still hope. If God has quit speaking to you today, then you're without hope. But I don't think you'd be here today if God had quit speaking to you. And the very fact that you're here today is because God has been speaking to you, and God is still speaking to you and saying, come on, enter into the life that I have for you. Stay there with me in fellowship with me, and I will sustain you, and I will help you, and I will prosper you, and I will be with you, and I will keep you. Stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has set you free. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, for delivering us out of Egypt with its bondage and its corruption. Thank you, Father, for freeing us from that old life of the flesh, that we might walk after the Spirit and live after Thee. Oh God, we pray, those that are here this morning who may be journeying back towards Egypt, oh God, stop them. Perhaps some of them have come back to Egypt and are back again there in the things of the flesh, again being mastered by their own flesh. Oh God, bring them forth anew back into the land of promise, back into the life of the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, God is speaking to your heart. There's hope. How long God will speak, no one really knows. But today, as the psalmist said, if you will hear his voice, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as did the children of Israel in the day of provocation, when they tested God and saw his earnestness and sincerity in the things that he said. Don't harden your heart to the things of God, but open your heart and life to Him now and come back into the walk of the Spirit. For God has promised He'll strengthen and sustain and help you. I would encourage you this morning to make your way back to the prayer room. It's on the far right over here. That God might really become first in your life once again. You'll realize that it's God that made you strong. It was God that brought you out. It was God that set you free. It is God that will keep you. Now may the Lord be with you and bless you through the week. May His hand be upon your life and the anointing of His Spirit just heavy upon you this week as you walk with Him in faith and in that marvelous fellowship of His Spirit and of His love. In Jesus' name.